What's happening locally? The news.
And indeed, let's take today's look, shall we? Some of the local news stories here in the Republic of Panama. The first liquidation court of criminal cases validated on Wednesday a 48-month prison sentence agreement for Silvana Manzini de Trillo Barrio. This is for the crimes of unjustified enrichment and money laundering. Judge Agueda Renteria, who presided over the hearing that began at 2 p.m., approved the agreement reached between the Anti-Corruption Prosecutor's Office of Descarga and the defense of the accused. During the session, the judge confirmed with Silvana Manzini de Trillo Barrio that the agreement was signed voluntarily and without pressure. The sentence imposed is divided into two sanctions, 24 months each, the first for unjustified enrichment and the second for money laundering, in both as a primary accomplice. Following the validation of the agreement, Eduardo Sequeira, defense attorney, requested the commutation of the sentence for a payment of day's fines. However, the judge explained that this request must be addressed to a compliance judge. The investigation against Manzini de Trillo Barrio and her son, Adolfo de Trillo Barrio, for money laundering has as a preceding crime unjustified enrichment. This process began after an audit by the Comptroller General of the Republic revealed that de Trillo Barrio could not justify $3 million in her assets. As a part of this investigation, the prosecution ordered the seizure of two properties belonging to de Trillo Barrio, located in Punta Barco and San Carlos in West Panama, as well as two other properties in the district of San Francisco. Adolfo de Trillo Barrio, currently residing in Italy, did not appear in this process or in the one related to the purchase of dehydrated food for $44.5 million managed through the defunct National Aid Program during the government of Ricardo Martinelli. De Trillo Barrio also faces a 120-month prison sentence for the Blue Apple case, in which he was also ordered to pay $5,091,486.92 to the Treasury, an amount that must be paid within 24 months after serving his main sentence. What could be interpreted as the expropriation of the savings of contributors to the mixed pension system has once again surfaced in the public debate, this time in the consultations on the reforms to the Social Security Fund, CSS. For CSS authorities, the reform does not propose in any of its articles the expropriation of money, but rather the use of a common account, guaranteeing that each person has a complete report of their individual contribution registered in the books. The government of José Raúl Moreno proposes the extinction of the mixed pension system to form what they have called the Single Solidarity Fund. All the reserves of the pension system would go to this single fund. The very few that remain from the exclusively defined benefit subsystem and the more than $3 billion from the mixed system. On Wednesday, the 20th of November, Attorney Daniel Lombana participated in the consultation period during the first debate of the bill in the National Assembly. There, Lombana recalled the warnings made in the recent past by various voices in the private sector, which pointed out that the merger of the two systems could be interpreted and demanded as an expropriation of the contributors' funds, given that the mixed system includes a personal savings component that belongs to each worker. In his opinion, this is what would be achieved by creating a single fund from which funds would be taken to pay the pensions of all current pensioners while trying to create reserves under the promise of investment with 4% interest and the contribution of the state. Lombana recalled that Article 209 of Law 51 of 2005 establishes that the funds in individual savings accounts are the exclusive property of the insured. I repeat, they are their property. However, now they are trying to redirect that money to a solidarity system without prior consultation, he emphasized. In his opinion, This decision particularly affects a generation of workers who have gone through multiple pension models, from a solidarity system in 2004 to a mixed one in 2005, and now towards a collective capitalisation scheme. José María Castillo, one of the four lawyers for the former official of the Comptroller General of the Republic, this is Odilia Castillo, with whom he is not related despite having the same last name, was interviewed on Tuesday on the television programme Cuatro Poder, which is broadcast on RPC-TV in the morning hours. In the interview, Castillo stated that when his client processed modifications in favour of her client's contracts, she never did so while working at the aforementioned comptroller's office, a statement that is false. Aurelia Castillo, who is also a lawyer, worked as an external official of the comptroller's office, as she herself made clear in a reply that she sent to La Prensa in April of 2021. In addition, there are public records that show that she was an official of the comptroller's office while she made arrangements, for example, in favour of the company administration and supervision of civil works on the 22nd of March in 2021. A letter from the firm Palacios Vázquez y Asociados, in which Odilia Castillo was a partner, president and legal representative since 2018, along with the general secretary of the comptroller's office, Xenia Vázquez, who had previously requested a license from the firm, described the amount of her firm's fees to administration and supervision of civil works. Now, that letter detailed the amount that the client had to pay in professional fees for the processing of 17 contract settlements. It referred to the official termination of contracts executed by that company for the state. The firm detailed its fees, which consisted of a percentage of the contracts, 10% of the total amount obtained at the time of legal completion of the settlements through endorsement. According to the letter, Palacios Vázquez y Asociados was committed to processing, managing and completing the claims with the endorsement of the Comptroller General of the Republic. In other words, the former Comptroller General's official's signature was committed to processing the claims until obtaining precisely the endorsement of the Comptroller General. The firm was so confident of obtaining these endorsements for its clients, they had to make a partial payment of the amount that they would receive for the proposed liquidation solution. Once endorsed by the entity responsible for the works, as well as an additional percentage to pay the fees, after obtaining the endorsement of the comptroller's office. The letter from Palacios Vázquez y Asociados, as already mentioned, is dated March the 22nd of 2021, when Odilia Castillo had a contract with the comptroller's office for $3,000 per month. According to records from the comptroller's office itself, there was a payment for special services from March the 1st to the 30th, 2021. That is, the same month in which her law firm sent the letter of professional fees to its client. During the inauguration of the new halls of the Executive Centre of the Central American Institute of Business Administration, INCAE, that's INCAE, the business school, President José Raúl Molino stated that the educational gaps that affect the country's competitiveness in key sectors such as technology and logistics must be closed. We cannot stay behind. Education must go hand in hand with the country's employment needs, he said. The president took the opportunity to emphasize the importance of a national logistics strategy that maximizes Panama's geographic position. Our location must be much more than the canal. We need a strategy that consolidates our maritime and logistical strengths to attract investments and develop new markets, he said. He also revealed that he is in talks with international businessmen interested in establishing operations in the country, in areas such as sulfur processing and agricultural exports, thus strengthening the country's economic potential. For his part, Enrique Bolaños, rector of INCAE, stressed the importance of the country as a strategic headquarters for the institution. Panama is not only a key market in Latin America, but a true hub of the Americas, he said. He also highlighted the institution's recent achievements, such as the inclusion of its executive MBA among the 100 best programs in the world, according to the Financial Times, and the recognition by LinkedIn as one of the best schools to boost professional careers. The president and CEO of Liberty Latin America, Balan Nair, also highlighted the importance of this new facility, not only for the institution, but also for the development of the country and the entire region. Today, we celebrate more than just a building. We celebrate a significant step forward for Panama, said Nair, who emphasized that a country that aspires to be world-class must have access to world-class education, especially at higher levels. And for his part, Stanley Mota, who is part of the advisory board of INCA, highlighted the long road travelled to materialise the presence of the institution in Panama. I first heard about this initiative in the 1970s, but at that time it was decided to establish itself in Costa Rica. Having this centre here today not only benefits the institution, but also positions Panama as a hub for education and business leadership, he said. The centre arrived in Panama after its campus in Nicaragua was confiscated by the government of Daniel Ortega in 2023. This fact forced the institution to look for new expansion opportunities to continue its educational mission. Attorney General Javier Caraballo confirmed that his office is conducting at least three investigations related to the circulation of counterfeit coins known as Martinellis in the local market. Caraballo explained that the first complaint about the counterfeiting of these coins was filed approximately a year and a half ago, and that there are two other ongoing investigations on the same subject. The most recent of these investigations began last October, when a batch of counterfeit coins was discovered in a warehouse in Chalibre. Subsequently, the National Customs Authority located a second batch of coins in the same warehouse, which is presumed to be linked to a previous batch that had been introduced into the country through the Colón Free Zone. And on November 13th, Panamanian authorities discovered a shipment of rice from China labelled with the brand of a well-known national product, and this was inside a container held in a Pacific port. This shipment is currently under custody at the customs headquarters located on Domingo Diaz Avenue. The case, classified as trademark fraud, involves the unauthorized use of a registered trademark. Customs reported that after concluding the corresponding administrative process, the file will be sent to the Public Prosecutor's Office for criminal investigation. It was reported that once the case is passed to the Public Ministry, this institution will be in charge of requesting the intervention of authorized experts, whether from the Consumer Protection and Competitive Authority, the Ministry of Health, or any other entity that is considered pertinent. These experts must certify whether the product is suitable for human consumption or address to any other aspect that is deemed necessary. The company, Grupo Hermanos Palacios, known as HEPSA, owner of the Panamanian brand Pelin that was counterfeited, filed a formal complaint with the authorities. This was in a statement they described the incident as smuggling practices in violation of our industrial property rights. For its part, the National Association of Poultry Farmers of Panama urged both the ANA and the Public Ministry to conduct a prompt and exhaustive investigation. We hope that once these events are clarified and responsibilities established, the guilty parties will be administratively and criminally sanctioned with the rigour that these serious violations merit, said the organisation. And on that note, that's Rice Way to end the news. That's our look for this morning. Some of the local news stories compiled for today's programme.